Father, it's so wonderful to be in your presence tonight. We thank you so much for who you are, realizing tonight that there is no other God, that there is no other way, that the price was paid in full. Father, we're so thankful to be here tonight to worship you in spirit and truth. Now, Lord, this is your service. You take it. You do with it as you see fit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'd say the Lord came to Thursday night Bible study, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do thank you and praise you. We're not in any hurry at all, Jesus, as long as you get to do what you want. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just tell him again how much you love him. We worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Oh, there is no other God. All other gods are false. Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We bless the day, Lord, that you saved us. We bless the day, Lord, that we came to know you. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Where would we be without Jesus? We'd have no hope. We'd all be lost and undone without Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done. We thank you. We praise you, Father. Lift you up and exalt you. Let your Spirit fill this place. Let your Spirit fill this place, Father. Move among your people tonight by your Spirit, Lord. Move among your people here tonight, Father. Oh, we praise you. We lift you up. There is no other. There is no other that we'll serve all the days of our life. You and you only are God. And we exalt you and magnify you. Oh, we praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we glorify you and praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your name. Hallelujah.
We worship you.
Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, we worship you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you and thank your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You never can worship the Lord too much, you know. And the church is sadly lacking. I remember when Norval Hayes came out in about 83, 84. And the Lord had told him, he said, "My church, son, is sadly lacking. They don't know how to praise me. And they don't know how to worship me. They don't know how to enter into my presence that they may receive from my hand." And for years, Norval taught and taught relentlessly. I don't know if you know, maybe some here that don't know Norval Hayes, but he's just a fabulous man of God. I've learned so much from him. But the best thing you ever did all day long was worship your God. You didn't do anything better than that today. You didn't do anything better than worship him. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Him. You know what he rewards you with, first of all? Himself. And that's the best reward you ever got. Jesus, show up in your house. Glory to God. That's the best thing ever. That's the best day you ever had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been a really unusual day. There's no handouts tonight because this has got to come straight from my heart. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the impasse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to get a front row seat here? Linda Guida for benefit. Mary Ann, Linda Guida just said she's leaving. I know Mary will get these days. Yeah, I checked it. I double checked it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there may be some by tape, and there might be some new here that don't know what I mean by that phrase. What we call the impasse, if you look in a dictionary, an impasse is something you come to that you can't get over. You can't get, either it's a chasm that's too wide, you can't get across it, or it seems to be a mountain that's so tall you can't seem to get over it, or something. And people that come to the prayer center especially, And a lot of them that get these tapes, you know, they've really set their heart on their call. They're like Paul when he said, forgetting those things that are behind, you know, I press forward. And he says, I'm pressing towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Y'all might as well know that high call, what he's talking about there, is you fulfilling the call of God that he had on your life before the foundations of the world, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. See, Paul, when his time was over on this earth, he said, he could say, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. We don't want to wind up in heaven not, you know, finishing half of our course, do you? You don't want to wind up in heaven finishing a fourth of your course, and you sure don't want to wind up before him finishing none of your course.
No.
I heard Kenneth Hagin say this one time, something that just, I'll never forget it all the days that I live. He says, most people live and die and never step into the first phase of their calling. And what he really said, the Holy Spirit just corrected me, he said, most ministers live and die and never step into the first level of their calling. They never find out what it was. Now I'm going to repeat this. I said this the other night in a service, but some of you weren't there, so you didn't get your toes stomped on, so the Holy Spirit wants to stomp on yours now. Hallelujah. What are you going to say to Jesus when that day comes? I mean, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to be glad you're in heaven. Don't get me wrong. I mean, how many of you knows you're going to be glad you're in heaven? Hallelujah. God's goodwill. Now, this is not a condemnation service. This is really Well, I'll tell you what this service is about. It's going right along the same Holy Ghost that's been speaking through Dave, warning us and admonishing us back into prayer. Amen. And forgive everything that moves.
Right.
He's talking to you tonight through me, that's all. Same Holy Ghost. And what are you going to say to Jesus, though? What are you going to say to Jesus when that day comes and you stand before him and there he is seated in his, you know, at the right hand of God? And you say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't fulfill my call in the earth. But Jesus, I just seemed like I never could figure out what it was you wanted me to do. I never could figure it out. I never could, you know, I mean, I tried, you know, but I never could figure it out. Then he's going to send one of his angels and he's going to say, bring me this person's file. And they're going to bring the records, you know, the Bible talks about they open the books. They're going to open the books on you. And he's going to say, now, okay, let's say it was me. And he says, let's see now. Saved, 4th of July, 1980. Filled with the Spirit about a week later. So you've had my Holy Spirit now for, 17 years. Now, in 17 years, I'm living 24 hours a day with my Holy Spirit, which I sent you on purpose to guide you into all truth, to show you what your call is, and even beyond that, to equip you with the spiritual gifts and the type of character you'd need to fulfill your call. And in 17 years, you don't even know what your call is. Son, how much time did you spend with my Holy Spirit? What did you do during those 17 years? Well, Lord, I was real busy. I had to make a living. And if you're a housewife, we're not going to let you off. I had them kids to raise. You know? I had dishes to do. I had carpets to clean, you know? And besides that, we got into all kind of church activities. You know, we had picnics and midnight volleyball. And we had all of these different things, you know, Jesus. You know, I mean, I thought all that was real important. And I know Pastor Dave kept telling me I ought to go pray in the Holy Ghost. But every time I'd try that, then I'd get to feeling bad, you know. And I'd want to get busy because I start feeling bad and feeling like a lazy person. And so I'd get busy again doing all, you know, I'd help them mow and I'd help them do all these things, Jesus, pass out tracts. But, you know, I just never did just spend any time really just praying in the Holy Ghost. I just never did do that, Jesus. Now, thank God, His goodwill is that you get saved and go to heaven whether you ever fulfill your call in the earth or not. But people that come to Thursday night Bible study are just flat not interested in God's goodwill. You can't convince me that you are. You wouldn't be here on a Thursday night in America. Every person here, unless somebody drug you here, which for benefit of the tape, I'm guessing how many of y'all think? 50, roughly? In about a 1,500 square foot house, you know? I mean, it's wall to wall saints of God in here. Glory to God. Everyone say, I am a saint of God.
I am a saint of God.
Now, you never said anything more true in your whole life. You are, too. By the blood of the Lamb, you're holy, too. I don't know if you know that. Set apart for God's kingdom. You. I'm talking about Annie. Do you understand? Everyone look at Annie. Everyone say, Annie is holy.
Annie is holy.
Sanctified by the blood of the Lamb.
Sanctified by the blood of the Lamb.
Touch not God's anointed.
Touch not God's anointed.
And do His prophets no harm.
Do His prophets no harm.
Now we could say that about every person in this room. I just pick on Annie because she never hits me back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of them do. Whoa, okay. Anyway. Hallelujah. Now, specifically the impasse. Let's say that you've graduated from that scenario that I described a while ago. And you've quit the playing around now. And you've quit the social stuff. And you've quit all the talking. And you've quit, and it's good to do things. Do you understand the grass at the church needs mowing? There's nothing wrong with that. We've got outreach programs. I teach there for crying out loud. All that stuff has to be done. But people, none of that has to anything to do with your call.
Amen.
You have got to get with the Holy Ghost yourself until the Holy Ghost reveals to you what it is you're supposed to be doing. Not only that, you've got to get with the Holy Ghost yourself till He'll equip you with the kind of character that can get over the next impasse.
Amen.
Because let me assure you, the next impasse is coming. Now let me describe this impasse. And the reason I can do that, I'm going through one. Hardly anybody knows it except those that live in my house. Let me tell you what they feel like. This is the best night to preach it.
Amen.
See, because right now, tonight, if I was to really do what I felt like, I'd tell you all to go to hell. You might as well know the truth. There's nothing in my emotions. There's nothing in my emotional character tonight that wants to do this. Now, I've already been through enough impasses to know you can't live by your emotions.
Amen.
And if you still are, that's your first impasse. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care how sincere you are, when you set your heart on praying long hours in the Holy Spirit, you are going to run into your flesh big time.
Yes,
emotions are going to rise up in you, and you're getting help also from these wicked spirits in the heavenlies. They're called wicked spirits because they come in and they work on your emotions, and they whisper little thoughts in your ear like, this is stupid. You are wasting your time. This isn't accomplishing anything. Dave is wrong, and this is a cult. Get out.
Amen.
Okay? Now, unless the devil died, those kind of thoughts are headed your way, and not only the thoughts, the emotions that come with them. Now, emotions cannot be dismissed. I don't know if you figured that out yet or not. Dave says that all the time. How many of y'all try not to be sad? You know? Can't hardly do it, can you? Okay? When you get that laughing spell that comes on you at church, try and be sad. You can't do that either. See, emotions cannot just be dismissed. I'm going to be happy today. Try that. You know, try that, you know? Now, there is a certain thing to be said for fake it till you make it, okay? But really, emotions, what has to happen, you have to die to them. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get them. I've got them today. I've got emotions going on right now. Emotions that does not want to do this. Quiet in here now. Y'all thought I was perfect, didn't you?
Oh,
I want you all to understand the difference. I want you to understand the difference between serving Jesus from your spirit because you love Him and you are His slave, and you do what He says whether you like it, whether you don't like it. You do what He says whether your flesh likes it or don't like it. And what you wanted to do has got nothing to do with it. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. There's no handout tonight. Hallelujah. Now, and this is a real good night for me to teach this. We're going because I am going through one of those right now. I've been through many of them before. I'm not a novice. 5 years. How do you stay 5 years? You learn to get past impasses. You don't quit. Most people quit at the first one. Like Dave said last night, the first one comes about 6 months. 3 weeks. Nick Guida said, how about 3 weeks? They've been here 3 weeks from Florida. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at some really hard verses here. These are hard. Everyone say hard.
Hard.
Say scary.
Scary.
Okay, we're going to look at some of these. Luke chapter... Did I say 12?
Yes.
Well, I said wrong. Luke chapter 14.
All right.
We're going to look at this part first. Starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26. Before I read this, I got to get a commitment statement. See, my job is what I'm doing. Part of what I'm doing is the Great Commission, which Jesus said, "Go and preach unto all nations, making disciples." How many of y'all are here because you want to be disciples? Okay, amen. That's why you're here, isn't it? People don't come out on a Thursday night in America if they're not wanting to be a disciple. So here's some good news, disciples. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you write in your Bible, you ought to underline cannot. He did not say you could do it with great difficulty. He did not say you could do it with lots of effort. He says if you don't hate those things in comparison to your love for Him, you cannot be His disciple. Now I got some more news for your head. You cannot come to the place to hate those things more than Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. Man cannot save himself. Have you figured that out yet? You cannot change yourself. Best efforts. Some people have more willpower than others. And some people can do some pretty mighty big things with their willpower. But when it comes to change, permanent change, that comes from the inside out.
Yes,
and only the Holy Spirit can get on the inside of you and change you. Same here. Okay? Now, you cannot be His disciple unless you turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit to where He... And I'll tell you what He's going to do. It's not that He's going to show you that you hate your parents. Dear Lord, do you think Jesus really wants you to hate your mother and father?
No, he doesn't.
Absolutely. Nor your brothers or your sisters. But what, you know what's going to happen when you start praying in the Holy Spirit? You know who He is going to show you? He's going to show you Jesus. He's going to start showing you the exalted, anointed Son of the living God. And as you behold His glory, He is going to so overpower your life that everything else pales into comparison. The things that matter to you now, maybe it's your house, your car, your VCR. You know? Well, I'll fight you over my VCR now. You can do with my house or my car, but yeah, I'll fight you for my VCR, you know? You know, it's like that thing where he says, you've seen that bumper sticker that says, you'll take my revolver when they pry my cold, dead fingers off of it. Well, most men are that way about the remote control on the VCR, you know? You know? See? And you try and give up stuff. You know, religion always told you to give this up. Give that up. I remember Dave, when he started off in ultra holiness. And of course, you know, they start off with stuff that everybody can agree with. You ought to quit that adultery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better too. But then they go on, you know, and you need to. Now, not that Dave was in adultery. Make sure everybody. I'm just talking about the stuff they preach. You know. They start off with that stuff, you know. You need to quit that adultery. You need to quit this. You need to quit that. And so Dave, you know, he was, you know, in fact, he, at the time, he was smoking a corncob pipe. He was working in a mill, and they kept preaching against pipes, you know. So he'd put it down, throw it away, break it up, run over it, you know, buy another one at the store on the way home, you know. But he finally got rid of that. Well, then he's preaching on TV, so he got rid of the TV. Then he's preaching on the radio, get rid of the radio. And finally he says, I don't know what else. What are we going to do? Go naked? That's the only thing left to give up, you know. See, so religion's always saying, give up this, you know, give this up, give that up, give this up. That will never change you.
Amen.
You may have give up that TV, but in your heart, you want that sucker really bad. And I'm not talking about Leave It to Beaver either. You know, them that you're not supposed to be watching. But see, if it's still in your heart, you're not changed.
Amen.
You're not changed, see. Now, what the Holy Spirit does, He gets on the inside and starts changing your heart. He starts showing you Jesus to the point you don't have time for that trash anymore. It doesn't hold any value to you anymore.
Glory to God.
Man, it's, you know, I used to be an alcoholic. I did. I mean, I used to just drink all the time. Angie knows. My daughter, she knows. I'm not lying, Emma. You know? It was awful. I tell you all, I drink all I want to now. I don't want to anymore. Glory to God. He changed me.
Amen.
I'm not trying to give up booze. I want you to understand that. Booze left me.
Amen.
The desire for it left me. I don't have... Jesus. Man, give me Jesus. You keep your Jack Daniels.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want it. I just don't want it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a real obvious thing. But now what we're talking about tonight is the impasse. Because I know most of you are past those major... Well, we'll say by faith, most of you are past those major, major adultery, fornication, those kind of things. Let's say we're all past that, okay? Everyone say okay.
Okay.
What we're talking about now is the kind of change on the inside where when your emotions rise up in you, and then you don't, like Dave says again, you don't want to pray, and you don't want to. And someone comes to your front door because they haven't seen you at prayer for a while, and they say, I come to give you a ride to prayer. And you say, get off my porch, I'll kill you. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to pray, and I don't want to pray. Get off my porch, I'll kill you. The real, you know, that unchanged part comes out. You know? Well, now, I used prayer. Let's use something else. You know, some people are committed to the outreach, and they've given their word. They've given their solemn word. They're going to do something. Okay? But then somebody comes along and offends them. Or they're asked to do something they didn't like to do. Or maybe nothing happened, and just your emotions rose up, and you just don't want to do that. Jesus said, and your own life also. Unless you do that, unless you give up your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Let's go on and look at verse 27. As if that wasn't bad enough. And. When you find an and, does that mean he's done talking yet? No, he's not. It gets worse. Everyone say worse.
Worse.
Which really means better.
Amen.
It really does. And whosoever, that's you, doth not bear his cross and come after me, again, cannot be my disciple. He didn't say it's hard. He didn't say you could do it with great difficulty. He said unless you bear your cross and follow him, you can't be his disciple. What kind of cross is he talking about, Brother Gary? That's your assignment. His assignment was to be the spotless Lamb of God, to come and die for the sins of the world. How many of y'all know that's not your assignment?
Amen.
You're not qualified. You're not qualified. See, there's only one. There's only one only begotten Son of God, spotless Lamb of God. That's Him. That was His cross. Was it pleasant?
No.
Hello? Was it pleasant?
No.
Did He, you know, He had a flesh and bone body like ours?
Yes.
when they were lashing him with 39 stripes, do you think that was fun?
No.
You think he anything in the natural part of Jesus wanted to do that?
No.
How about when they made him carry his own cross on his own bloody back for a ways, and then eventually, you know, they got another fellow to carry it. Then they nailed him to the cross. Well, you think that part was fun?
No.
You know, even before that, even at the beginning, he said, "Father, if there be any way, take this cup from me." He did not want to do this. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The same character in him that drove him to that cross, he will put that same character in you to bless God, make sandwiches at the outreach. Or preach Thursday night Bible study when nothing in you wants to do it. Or go pick up the homeless or whatever it is, whatever your cross is. I don't know what your cross is. What's he telling you to do? Nothing. You ain't spending no time with him.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is he likes busy people.
Amen.
The kingdom of God has got more to get done than is getting done, and he's got something for you to get done in it.
Amen.
Now you say, "Well, he hadn't told me nothing." That tells me volumes about you.
Well,
you're not spending any time with him. Don't tell me you are either. There's no such thing as that. You're the exception. You're the only one God called not to do anything on the earth in the kingdom. Now, like Dave said something the other day, it just blew my hat in the creek. He says, now, if your crowning achievement right now, your weekly pinnacle, the thing that God has you doing, bless God, and you overcome, and you make it. And if that high point of your week, the pinnacle of your activity for the kingdom of God, is to make it to church service. Oh. Ouch. Ouch. Well, I made it. Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. I think his call is a little higher on your life than make it to church service. You know? Aren't you glad you came in? But I honestly, Gary, I don't know what he wants me to do. I know that. I didn't know it for a long time. Remember, it was over 2 years praying 40 hours a week before he ever told me to even start this. Hello? But 2 years? Well, you may not be as messed up as I was. Then again, you might be more so. But however much you are, my suggestion would be start now.
Amen.
Start now. Nick and Linda just moved up here from Florida, and I've been trying to help give them a jump start, you know, because they're new compared to all the rest of you guys. And I've been helping them make a prayer schedule and things like that, because I know I've learned, and Sue and I, you know, we've watched over 5 years. Plus, I've gone through it for 5 years. People, you can think what you want. I know a lot of people get upset with me. They say it's too mechanical, it's not spiritual. If you don't plan when you're going to pray next week, I love you. I'm not trying to put you under the law, trust me. It's just the nature of the animal. It's the nature that we are. If you don't plan it now, you're not going to pray next week. Because those same devils that kept you too busy to pray last week are good at their job. They're going to keep you too busy next week too. See? I mean, you're right, I'm right. I know it. A lot of people, you know, they just won't do it. You need to take you a sheet of paper. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. Take a sheet of paper. Okay, today's what, Thursday? Okay, Friday, first day on your sheet of paper. Draw your little column. When am I going to pray Friday? You know, how many hours a day do you want to pray? And it's not just a matter of praying for prayer's sake. There's a reason. You need to find out your call. You need to let the Holy Ghost make some adjustments in you where you don't fold at every difficulty.
Right.
And every little emotion that comes along doesn't make you quit. If I did that tonight, there'd have been a sign on the door, "Go home, you, all of you." I just might as well know how it is. I mean, human beings are human beings, you know? Now, thank God we've gotten past the point. I know that when emotions come like that. Now, I'm not the most I'm always sweet. Everyone say I am by faith. Say I am by faith. But to be honest with you, I wasn't as sweet today as I normally am. And I did the best I could. And I got a great family. Okay? did the best I could, all right? But still yet, does that stop you?
No.
Let's see, God uses me, God uses Gary Carpenter because Gary Carpenter's perfect. Boy, if you think that, you came to the right place. I'm telling you what, to find out different. There's only one perfect. They nailed him to a cross when he was 33 years old. He's the only one perfect. None. I got news for your head. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't. Saint Peter wasn't perfect. And if you're waiting for God to make you perfect before you start doing anything, you're going to live your whole life out and you're never going to do anything for God. God uses you to be basically His taxi. He has placed Christ the Anointed One within your spirit. And you basically, once you learn to hear Him, you go where He says go. You say what He says say. You do what He says do. And the Father gets to do what He wants done in the earth.
Amen.
That's basically it. Learning to hear His voice. Learning not to let His emotion, you know, your emotions talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll serve you on the days I will feel like it, Jesus. None of you want to stand before Him. But Jesus, I served you every third Tuesday of every month. I felt like it. But those other days, Jesus, when you wanted me to do stuff, Jesus, I just didn't feel like it that day. Well, you got to learn to get over that. That's impasse number one.
Yeah.
Impasse number one. It's got nothing to do with how you feel. Whether you feel like it. I want you to go. You know, Jesus says, I want you to go to the hospital and pray for this certain person. I'm going to heal him. Jesus, I just don't feel like you'd use me today. Now, you never said anything more stupid in your life. Quiet. Well, what has your feelings got to do with His ability to heal?
Come on.
I mean, get it straight. It's Him doing the healing. You ain't.
Amen.
All He needs is for you to go down there and let Him do the healing through you.
Amen.
What you feel like it, whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it, it's got nothing to do with it. Are y'all learning anything tonight?
Amen.
Okay. It's Him doing it because I don't even feel like doing this.
Yeah.
But see, I've prayed enough. I've got enough deposited from His Spirit on the inside of me. He can bring it up. He can bring it up and speak it to you, you know.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Impasse. Let's talk about it just a little bit more. Let me tell you what you have. Most people don't recognize. Now, most of you I know have already been through several of them because I've seen you at the prayer center too long. They don't quit. They don't quit. I've been at it 5 years. Got one going on right now. Dave warned us about this 2-3 weeks ago. You remember?
Uh-huh.
You remember that? Well, the Holy Ghost is still talking on that same thing because He doesn't want to lose any of you.
Amen.
He wants every one of you to fulfill your call. Okay? Hallelujah. Impasse. It comes a lot of different ways. It comes a lot of different ways. One of the number one ways, and this is why the Holy Spirit keeps mentioning it, is that take no offense and give no offense. And we all hallelujah that when Dave says it, don't we?
Yeah.
And then we sure forget it when somebody says something really mean to you.
And I mean
did something that you didn't deserve to you. Did something to you that was not nice, and you really, honest to God, didn't deserve it. It's hard to remember right then. It's hard to remember that, you know, because everything in you immediately goes into self-defense mode. Immediately. You're trained that way. That's the animal part of, I mean, you know, that's the animal part of us is self-preservation is the first instinct. Again, I'll use our cat. We've got a 12-year-old, 13-year-old cat named AC. Probably the most gentlest cat I've ever known. I mean, he's a great big cat. But he's a friendly cat, you know. But I guarantee you, if you get him backed into a corner and he fears for his life, he will come out fighting. Well, anytime somebody comes and does something really mean to you, your first instinct is to come out fighting. You're going to defend yourself. You can't change that. Get it straight. The only way that can change is by the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. Man cannot save man. You cannot save yourself. You cannot change yourself. You can change yourself a little on the exterior, but you cannot change what is in your heart yourself. Except by time spent praying in other tongues, time spent putting the Word into your heart by meditating on it and speaking it, and time spent worshiping Everyone say, worshiping,
worshiping
the Lord. The Lord, say, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's getting, it's really warm, isn't it? Y'all want us to bring a fan in? Y'all okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Okay, somebody nudge the ones that are passed out. Okay. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm gonna mention one. Okay, we talked about the forgiveness part. You remember when Dave gave that strong warning, forgive everything that moves.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really, they shouldn't be doing it like that. Forgive them. But they had no right. They don't have any right to do that to me. Forgive them. Understand the overall purpose. God's trying to bring a revival here. And the devil's doing anything and everything he can to cause division. Because a house divided cannot stand. I don't care what they did to you. Forgive.
Amen.
Don't wait for them to repent either. Forgive. Whether they repent, whether they don't repent. You forgive if they nail you to a cross. Because the number one thing here is not your ego. The number one thing here is all these people that Jesus is trying to save in this revival.
Amen.
Now, if you quit trying to exalt yourself and humble yourself, like we're going to look at here in a minute, the Lord Himself will exalt you in due time.
Yes, He will.
Amen. You do not defend yourself. You have one that defends you. Now, let's look at this a little more. So, your cross is your assignment. Your first assignment right now, I'll just tell you plain, is not even really to walk in love. Hello? Your first assignment right now is pray in tongues.
Sure.
That was sure quiet amen. Let's try it one more time. Your first assignment right now is pray in tongues.
Amen.
Now get it straight. That's it. It isn't anything else either. Yeah, but I'm involved in this. I didn't say not be doing whatever ministry He's got you in. I said pray in tongues. While you're doing it, make time. Cut out whatever, something out of your life that you're doing so that you have the time to pray in tongues. Because if you don't do that, further transformation is not coming. There's no point kidding yourself. I mean, again, we'll go back to the beginning. You wouldn't be here on a Thursday night if you did not want to fulfill your call. I know that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yet we let the devil just take us out by all kinds of busy work and all kinds of excuses and all kinds of things to where we don't have, quote, time to pray. That's why I say again, if you don't schedule when you're going to pray, you're not going to get it done. Now, there is such a thing as praying during the day. I do that too. We call that maintenance prayer. That's good. It's better than nothing. That's how the Lord taught me. That's one reason why it took 2 years, though. You know? I mean, He was able to do quite a bit while I'm driving the trucks, praying in other tongues. And He started teaching me and doing a lot of stuff. But it took 2 years that way. You know? It's better if you can get in 4 or 5 hours, just you and Jesus. 4 or 5 hours? I'm trying to work up to my first 30 minutes. Well, get worked up to that. And then increase it to 45 minutes. And then increase it to an hour. And then go an hour and 15 minutes. Or 8 hours. And we're going to have all day prayer this Saturday. You know? And even then, I mean, if you come for the whole day, there's going to be some breaks. You know, we take a lunch break. Dave teaches usually from 2 to 3. And then we're going to have calling in the lost from 4 to 6. But you can get in 5, 6, 7 hours praying in other tongues. And the Holy Ghost Himself will start getting on the inside of you and changing your heart into the very image of Christ Himself. See, it says, as we behold His glory, we are changed into the same image. How many of y'all think emotions stop Jesus?
No.
The emotions don't stop Jesus, do they? If emotions stopped Him, He wouldn't have gone to the cross. If emotions stopped Him, I mean, He says, I can ask my Father and He will send, 12 legions of angels, however many it was?
Wow.
What He was saying, and wipe this whole bunch out in the blink of an eye. He did not have to go through any of that, did He?
No.
And it wasn't pleasant.
And his emotions, he was in his self, he had emotions just like we do. It says he was made like us in all points, tempted like we are. So his emotions had to rise up in him. Okay? But now the difference is his character, his heart, was the heart of God, which does not make its decisions based on emotions. God's been dealing with me, now get this. The natural man makes all of his decisions normally based on three things: logic, emotions, and money. I think about it, don't we?
Amen.
The natural man. But those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In this kingdom, you don't make your decisions based on logic. That means human reasoning. Know that in the Proverbs it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Now that means trust Him, not your logic. Okay? Okay, so number one, you don't make decisions based on logic. You don't make decisions based on emotion. The world does that. Well, I feel like it today, and I don't feel like it tomorrow, and I feel like it the next day, and it's an emotional roller coaster, you know. One day you're super, super Christian, and the next day you're a slimy dog worm, you know.
Amen.
Isn't that right, you know? But you need to get off of that roller coaster. You need to get off of that roller coaster. You can't make decisions in this kingdom based on your emotions. And the third one is money.
Don't go there.
Okay, let's talk about money. Now, I'll tell you how I know what I know on this. The Holy Spirit came to teach me. You know, once you teach at the conference, the minister's conference, you start getting invitations. And the Holy Spirit came and he instructed me before that so I'd know what to do. And he says, don't ever make decisions whether to accept or reject an invitation based on any of these three things. Don't do it on logic. Don't do it on emotions. Don't do it on money. Never make a decision based on that. So I was basically going, well, what do I base the decision on? You do what I tell you. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God has a voice. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. Now, when that word dumb doesn't mean they were stupid. He means these idols of wood and stone that can't talk.
Yeah.
And then what he's saying is, we have a God that does talk.
Hey.
And if you listen to Him, He is going to lead you by His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told me, He says, now, if you'll follow the... He says, never override the inner witness, son. Never override the inner witness. Don't override it with logic. Don't override it with emotions. And don't override it based on money.
Amen.
You go by the inner witness. He says, now if you do that, he says, I'm not saying... No, in other words, if you accept every invitation perfectly, just like, you know, what, the ones I want you to take, and then the ones I don't want you to take. He says, now if you do that, I'm not saying that every situation that you get into will be pleasant on your flesh. But I am guaranteeing you that every one of those situations, you will be anointed.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Yes, amen.
They may do you like at Lystra and stone you till you die, but God will raise you up.
Hallelujah.
And when you do, you've got the kind of character now because you've spent time with the Holy Ghost. You just turn around, you go back into town and say, hey, boys, I'm not done preaching my message yet.
Come on. Bring your microphone.
You know, they're more prone to listen when they stoned you to death and you come back to preach to them again. I think they're pretty prone to listen then. They do like Nelson used to say, like a motorboat, you know. They don't know what to say, you know. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? All right. Who can put that kind of character in you? See, we're going, I want to be successful in life, Brother Gary. Even, not only in my Christian life, my whole life, you know. I want to be successful. And most people, because of the strongholds and the hurts and the rejections we get when we're young, especially, there's something in us that just right before you succeed, something takes you out. Sue and I used to sell real estate, and we used to train real estate agents, and we'd watch it, and we saw that pattern over and over and over again. People would come, they were all excited about it. And you know, real estate's a fine business. It's a decent, honest way to make a living. And they'd come in, they were all excited, and we'd tell them what to do. Hallelujah. No, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll take a little one. My darling wife, for benefit of the tapes, wanting to know if I need some water. Yes, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Sue. But we'd tell them what to do. We'd teach them how to do it, you know. And they'd be all excited, and they'd start out. But see, in that business, for like, a 100 people you talk to trying to get business, you get rejected probably 98 times. How many of y'all like rejection? No, nobody likes rejection. And their character wouldn't let them continue doing that more than just 2 or 3 days. And they're gone. Now, a lot of them went to school 6 months to get a license in Oklahoma to sell real estate. And they were full of zeal, and they sure intended to do it, and they had visions of making good money, which you can. They had visions of a better car and all of that, you know, better things for their family, and that's fine. But even after going to school and learning the stuff and doing the homework and paying the fees, there's fees involved, you know, to do it, their character had not been remolded to handle the rejection. And after just a few days, they were gone. They were gone. Now, see, it's that way in your Christian life. If that, you know, we all have character flaws. You know that, don't you? See? And you say, well, I want to be faithful. I mean, when I promised to do that, I meant it. I was going to be faithful every time. I was going to do that, whatever it was you committed to. You understand what I'm talking about? Maybe it could be anything. It could be something you committed to do, for example, with the outreach. It could be something, maybe you committed to be at every calling in the lost thing, or maybe every other one, or something. Or prayer. I'm going to start praying 20 hours a week. I am going to do that, see? All right? And whatever it is, and you set out to do it, and then after a little while, character flaws, those emotions, and you've never gotten past that there before. That's the same thing that's always taking you out before you got success. You see what I'm saying? There's only one. If you could fix that, you'd already fixed it, wouldn't you? Hello?
Yes.
If you could fix it, you already. Oh, it's just like New Year's resolutions. How many of you meant them when you did them?
Mm-hmm.
Sure you did. You know? Sure. I meant it. You know? And you make, if most people, if you make it past the first 30 days. Your character's not developed to do that. Your character's not developed. And it takes the Holy Spirit getting on the inside of you to change you. Now, whose character is able to do that? Jesus. And that's the very character. It says, as we behold Him, we behold His glory, we are changed into the same image by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit really does when you start praying a lot in other tongues. I said a lot.
Where's that at?
Okay, let's look it up. Hold your place there in Luke, because we're coming back to it, and go to either 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I know right about where it is. Hang on. 2nd Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Actually, chapter 3, verse 18. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Well, let's take verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, only as you behold Him, as you behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass. The Holy Spirit, you'll start praying, you'll start meditating the Word, and He's going to start revealing Jesus to you. And you're going to say, oh, you know, you start seeing Jesus. You worship Him as in a glass, as in a mirror. Because the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. But you see Him and you say, well, He would never quit. I see that kind of character in Him. And then you look at yourself, see, and you go, but I'm a quitter. Okay, now that's the problem. you have to look at him as in a glass. Because actually, he is in you. And as long as you keep looking at him and looking at you and looking at him and looking at you, you're not going to change. Well, yes, he is he has endurance, but I don't. Okay? He has courage, but I'm a coward. If you look at him and then look away and look at you, and you look at him and then you look away and look at you, that does not cause the change. What causes the change is, Jesus, you are a courageous person, and so am I. Because as you are, so am I in this world. And you're going to have to start calling those things which be not as though they were to ever get that to work. You have to say, Jesus, you're in me. You're not a quitter. Neither am I.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you're not ruled by your emotions. Neither am I.
Amen.
Because you're in me, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. Jesus, money does not control you. Doesn't control me either.
Hallelujah.
I do what I see my Father doing. I don't check with money about it first either.
Amen.
Money serves me.
Amen.
As I serve the Lord.
Yes.
Now, until you start talking like that, it's not going to change for you. It works this way, and you're not allowed to make up your own gospel.
Amen.
As you behold Him in a mirror, you can't leave out that part. See, a lot of people, they leave that part out, and I hear them quoted all the time. Oh, you're changed as you behold Him. As you behold His glory, you're changed into the same image. No, you're not. That's not what it says. It's when you behold His glory as in a glass. That's a King James word. It just means mirror. In other words, you see Him and then you see you in the same mirror. You don't see Him in the mirror and then look away and look at you. You'll never change that way. I want to go through it one more time because this is what most people do and they think it's worship. They used to do this. We used to be trained to do this. Jesus, you are so righteous and I am such a worm. Jesus, you are so holy. And I am sin personified. Jesus, you are so rich. I am so poor. Jesus, you are strong. I am so weak. We were trained to worship Jesus like that in a traditional church. What does the Bible say the weak are supposed to say? I am strong. Because He's strong in you. It doesn't make any difference whether I feel like doing Thursday night Bible study. My life does not belong to Gary Carpenter anymore.
Amen.
Do you understand that? It doesn't belong to me. I have nothing to say about it. It's not my decision, Larry, from week to week. I don't work for me.
That's right.
I work for Him. And if He tells me to do it next week or not do it next week, either one, that's what I'm going to do. But my emotions are not going to keep me from it. I can tell you that. But you got to make it past that impasse. Do I like it? No, I don't. I like it. Y'all know how I am. Most of the time I have a good time. My emotions are right in this, aren't they? Thank God we don't live in the impasse all the time, you know. And really what Pastor Dave says to you is that's where you've been trying to get to. When you get to the impasse, dear God, don't quit praying then. You finally got to the thing that's been keeping you from success your whole life. And if you can press on there and get over that impasse, finally, man, that one will never stop you again.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Are you having a good time or need to use the bathroom? Boy, are we free here or what? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, this needs to be preached. We've watched Sue and I in 5 years. And boy, you young people, if y'all could start praying now. I wasn't even saved till I was 33 years old. Everyone say, that's old.
That's not old.
I didn't even get saved. It all depends on your perspective, doesn't it, Pat? Okay, but I didn't even get saved till I was 33. Okay? I mean, think about it. If you guys started now, how old are y'all? 14. 13. Think, you'd have 20 years on me. 20-year head start. And you see how wonderful I am.
Amen.
Think how wonderful you'd be if you got a 20-year head start.
Wow.
And what's scary? Yeah. And what's really scary, see, is I didn't really start praying until about 5 years ago. I never really turned myself over to the Holy Spirit until December of 1992. I didn't know you're supposed to. I didn't know there was any advantage to it. I'd never heard anybody teach about spending long hours. Thank God for Dave Roberson. That's right.
Amen.
I mean, when I look at the change that he's done in just 5 years, it's incredible. Makes me wonder what would have happened if I'd have started that when I was 14. What kind of powerhouses would we have in the earth? Hallelujah. Let's go back. You go back to Luke 14 for a minute. Now, the whole point of this is that when you start something, you don't quit. You don't let emotions take you out. You don't let circumstances take you out. You don't let that one that spoke real ugly to you take you out. You don't let anything take you out. Whatever he wants you to do, that's what you do. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It doesn't feel what... It doesn't matter. Whether I like it.
Whether I like it.
Or I don't like it.
Or don't like it.
Where I feel like it.
Or I don't feel like it.
The only thing that matters.
Did he say do it?
That's it.
Sure.
That's it. That's the only thing that matters.
Amen.
That's making decisions by the Spirit. See? Now watch. The reason he's talking about, if you don't come to that place, see, where it doesn't matter whether you want to. Your life is not your own anymore. Now watch. Luke 14, picking it up in verse... Well, I'll back up to verse 27 so we can get the flow. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which... Okay, now that cross is your assignment. So let's say you're going to start on your assignment now. And you're intending to finish yours just like Jesus finished his. You notice he didn't get halfway through the crucifixion and say, I quit.
Yeah.
No, he did it all the way, didn't he? All right, he intends for you to do your assignment all the way, whatever it is. It won't be on a cross. You're not the Lamb of God, trust me. Hallelujah. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, or perchance, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Now let's just talk about that for a minute. That tower represents your assignment. That tower represents your call. That tower represents everything that God intends for you to get done from this night till the day you stand before him in the earth. It's your call. And he intends for you to finish it. And you intend to finish it or you wouldn't be here. Right? But what he's saying is, if you don't let the Holy Spirit, if you don't turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit, to where he can change you to the point that all of those things that you love now that are keeping you out of prayer, you hate them compared to how much you love Jesus, you're not going to have the materials to finish your assignment. Your family will say, we don't want you praying that much. You know? Not my family, thank God. But a lot of times that is a problem.
Yeah.
Norval Hayes, you remember him? He got saved and really turned on to God and got an assignment from God to start going down to the city dump, and people were living down there. And God told him to buy bread and milk and food and take it to the little babies and take it to the children. And they were going, before that, you know, Norval and his wife, they were going to the First Baptist Church, which was the most prestigious church in town. They hobnobbed with the golf set, you know, and the doctors and lawyers and all that. Norval was a rich businessman. And when he started hanging around these poor folks and taking food down to the dump and stuff, she says, Norval, you're making a fool out of us. I'm not willing to live like this. You're going to have to make a choice. You either come back to the First Church or I'm leaving. She left. Norval stayed single 34 years and served Jesus. He literally had to make the choice. Now hopefully y'all won't. He had enough material to finish his tower though. Now he's 71, I think it is, and God's given him a wife. You know, she and Yeah, she's pretty, isn't she? She's like 54 or something. Yeah, sweet gal. And I hope I didn't make her too old. Is she 54? Good. Maggie's her name. But now, Norval literally had to make the choice. Thank God he had enough material to finish his towel. Wife or no wife. Now, that's not an excuse to be, you guys, to be out here divorcing your wife to serve God.
Yeah.
Norval did not divorce her. It was the other way around. You got it? All right. Watch this. All right. Let's take the other example here. Verse 31. The first thing is being able to have sufficient material, sufficient character is what he's talking about, sufficient love for Jesus to finish your tower no matter the cost, especially father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, what other people think.
Yeah.
Okay? What other people think about it. Now, starting in verse 31. Or, here's another example. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? See, he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough. The enemy, you know, he doesn't have enough. The enemy's got more than he has. You see? The reason he doesn't have enough, he still loves this world too much. He still loves the things of this world too much. He still loves himself too much. Now watch, though. Watch this. And in that condition, if he sees a situation where the enemy's coming with twice as much as he's got, now verse 32, in that condition, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador, or an ambassador, and desires conditions of peace. That's called compromise. That's called compromise. I know God intended for me to be a mighty prophet. And let's not even go that lofty. Okay? I know God called me to go to the prayer center and spend 20 hours a week praying in other tongues. Let's just take that. And it's a war. Have you all noticed? And the devil comes, and he's got one assignment. He sends some of his little devils after you. Car devils.
Yeah.
Keep your car broke down.
Amen.
Cause you to have an accident. People devils. They talk ugly about you. And they make sure you hear it. Okay? Strife devils. Almost against your... You're not planning on it. Doing the best you can. You seem to get caught up in the middle of strife. And a lot of ugly stuff is said, and people have left for that reason. Okay? Money devils. An ambassador comes against you. Money devils. Boy, I can relate to that one. I mean, suddenly when Sue and I served God, it seemed like all the money on the face of the earth vanished. Sucked down a drain pipe somewhere. We couldn't find none of it. Nowhere. Gone. Couldn't find no money. You know? You talk about, you know, famine. Looked like we was in really famine. I had visions of living under a bridge and wearing a gunny sack and, you know, walking everywhere we went. And, you know, I mean, really. Boy, the money left. And I'm telling you, the natural part of me wanted to quit this. Quit it. You know, go back. Be normal. Go to the first church. Be nice. Forget all about this casting out devils and praying in tongues stuff. Just be a nice Christian. Get a job at Penny's, for crying out loud. Do something, you know. You know? Be normal. That's what the devil kept shouting. Be normal. What's wrong with you? Just be normal. I don't want to be normal. I want to be peculiar. Don't you want to be peculiar? Well, you got to pray in them other tongues. People say, well, you get weird if you pray in them other tongues. No, you get peculiar.
Yes.
You get peculiar. Say, well, I'll lose my mind if I pray that much in other tongues. Good. You're trying to lose your mind and gain his.
Amen.
And his character. And his character. Well, when you don't want to, and I mean everything in you doesn't want to, and at that moment you could care less if You know, it's like that old deal, you just feel like shooting them all and let God sort them out. You know what I mean? You know? You know? That's the way you feel? And I mean, you really feel that way. But you check with your heart. What did the Master say? See, it comes to the place you check with your heart. You don't check with your emotions. You check with your spirit. Let me, since we're talking about emotions, let me say you check with your inner man. You check with that born-again part of you who gets his orders from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What did the Master say? What did the Master say? Have Bible study tonight. Yes, sir.
Amen.
And you let him show up and speak through you.
Hallelujah.
Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it. Man, pay the count the cost. Count it now. Do you know why Paul could go into places like Lystra and danger, and not just him, all through the centuries, missionaries have gone into headhunter country and died, become martyrs. You know how they could do that? They died before they ever went. They died before they ever left. They get that decision over with now. Who's going to live your life, you or Jesus? Are you bought with a price? Or are you not bought with a price? Remember what he told Peter? You know, he says, Peter, here's what's going to happen. You're going to live to be an old man. Right now you can dress yourself and go anywhere you want to. That's good. But the day's going to come, at the end you're going to be old, that another's going to come and dress you, and they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. And it says, thereby Jesus was telling him how his death was going to glorify God. So basically, Jesus said to him, you're going to be a martyr for me. Peter goes, gulp. And he looks around at John. What about John? You know, misery loves company, you know. I'm going to be a martyr. What about John over here? You know? And Jesus said to him, he said, if I desire that John remains till I come. What's that to you, Peter? You follow me. I mean, sometimes I'm in here and I'm, you know, praying and I'm trying to get the mind of God. You know, I'm flesh like the rest of you. You know, part of me. And I'm praying. I'm going, nobody else has to do this. I don't know anybody else in the church that has to. I'd have to drive across town, you know, buy these tapes. Drive back across town, you know, go fight all that traffic and stop at Office Depot and get a bunch of mailers and paper and stuff. And I'm going, Jesus, is there anybody else having to do this stuff and then give it all away free?
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that.
What's that to you, Gary?
Right.
You follow me.
That's it.
It doesn't make any difference that I preach Sean real easy, God says. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, what does it matter to you if I just let Sean float through life on flowery beds of ease? No. He didn't say that. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But what if he did? What if he did, see? What if he said, I'm the Lord, Sean serves me, he ain't going to have any trouble, Gary, you're going to be a martyr. My job is to say yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
What's that to me? You know, what if one guy has a God chose him to have the fanciest church and the nicest church building in town. I mean, that's his call. It's part of his call. And my job is to go be like Norval and deliver groceries to the slum. What's that to me? My job is to follow him.
Amen.
Gary, lovest thou me? Yeah, I love you, Jesus. Yeah, Gary, do you love me? Yeah. Will you do what I tell you? Used to be, if I feel like it. If I feel like it today, and I think you're treating me right, Jesus, I will. If I don't think you're giving me a fair shake and you treat Sean better than me, I don't know if I will or not. Dear Jesus, if you're still like that, pray. It's the only hope. It's only the Holy Ghost can change you from that kind of thing. Time spent with Him. Isn't that right, Gerald? Amen. Worship. That's why we started this off tonight. You didn't do anything better all day than what we did on the beginning of this tape.
Amen.
To worship Him. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost comes when you worship Him. My emotions today. Now, I love Jesus. It doesn't matter what my emotions say. But I'll tell you, in the natural, like Dave says, it felt like my hands had a ton of lead hanging off of each one of them. Nothing in my... And there's no reason for this. Nothing has happened. This is the what I'm talking about, the destroyer. This is what Dave was telling you guys. And I've gone through enough of it today. I'm just relating a little bit what it feels like. Get ready. You need to recognize this stuff. Because today, for no apparent reason, there's no reason for it. Everything's fine in the natural. My hands feel like there's a ton of weight hanging off of each hand. To try and raise them to praise God, you know, just seems almost impossible. Now, what do you do on days like that? Bless God, raise your hands. I worship you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what my emotions feel like. I am bought with a price. I am your slave, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I am here to serve you and love you and adore you, and it doesn't matter what I feel about it either. I already died to all that stuff. My life is yours. I've been bought with a price. Whatever you want, Jesus, that's what I'll do tonight. Whatever you want, Jesus, I want you to know I love you. I appreciate the blood. I'm so glad we sang those blood songs tonight. Oh, thank God for the blood. Now, even my emotions, they start getting stirred when you start singing about the blood now. That'll get you stirred. Now, let me tell you about one other one. And not to embarrass anybody, but the devil is, I want to say, the devil is mean.
The devil is mean.
He is merciless.
He is merciless.
Somebody I know got a phone call yesterday. They are really, these people are really doing their best to serve God. And I mean, at every turn, stuff's happening. Y'all know what I mean?
I do.
You know that bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Well, instead of saying that one, I'm going to say stuff happens.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, but I mean stuff is happening. They're getting lots of opposition. Out of the blue, the lady home by herself gets a phone call from another state where her mother lives. And the phone call says, blah, 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 you know, several things. By the way, your mother died. So what does that do to your emotions? Does that send you on a roller coaster ride down in a big hurry, like a stepping off a cliff? A little while later, a half hour, hour later, I don't know, a little while later, get another phone call. Oh, we made a mistake. She's alive. Now, if that's not the devil, if that's not the devil, I want you all to see that. Now, those are the kind of things that are happening, and that's what Dave warned you about. I mean, that's just one. That's just one. Can you see the devil saying, okay, these people just moved here. We got to take them out early. Let's mess with their car. Let's mess with their stuff. Let's mess with their checkbooks. Let's mess with their bank accounts. Let's mess with everything. And they all haven't left yet. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. Okay? Let's send the wife on this roller coaster and see if that sends her packing. Get her out of here. You know? And that was a rough ride, wasn't it, Linda? It's not easy. That really happened to Linda this week. Dear Lord, now nobody in the natural intended any evil. Remember, our battle is not with flesh and blood. It was honest mistakes. I mean, honest, you'd have to hear the whole thing. It was honestly happened. Nobody was trying to hurt you, were they? But the devil was. It was not an accident. Trying her, say, let's see. Let's see if we can manipulate them by emotions. Let's see if we can get them packing out of here by emotions. Let's try. That's a pretty rough roller coaster ride, isn't it? Hallelujah. Are y'all seeing the practical side of this?
Yeah.
Are y'all going to serve Jesus on the days that you don't feel like it?
Yeah.
All day prayer is coming up Saturday. We'll see. Now, we don't have time anymore for games. I love you all. You know that. I wouldn't do this if I didn't. You know, y'all know that. You know. We don't have nothing to gain here by what we do. Okay, we're doing this because we love you. But let me tell you, it's going to get rougher than it's been. Dave doesn't talk. That just means the victories will be that much sweeter. See? But I'm telling you, I know Dave. He doesn't talk like that unless God tells him to talk like that. And one of the times he talked like that, he said the same thing almost. He said, gather your families in. Walk in love. Forgive everything that breathes. Be sure and do it now. Walk in love. Gather your families in. That morning, when Sue got home from that service, there was a message for me. I was lying in a hospital bed in Arkansas. That was the same day. And during that same period of time was when Michael Kelly fell off of that ladder, nearly broke his back. Daisy Black was in a car wreck. Now, I'm not trying to prophesy any bad things on you, but I'm telling you, Dave doesn't talk like that unless God tells him to talk like that. So now, let's run over this, the instructions. What did he say that Wednesday night, two or three Wednesdays ago? Give no offense and take no offense. How many of you have had some opportunities to be offended since then? Seems to me like it's increased tenfold since that warning was given. Every opportunity to get in strife and every justification for getting in the middle of it. Okay? If you can just keep in your mind, the devil only has one plan, that's divide and conquer. That's it. Whether they did you dirt, whether they didn't do you dirt, has got nothing to do with it. Whether it hurt your feelings, whether it didn't hurt your feelings, what matters is unity of the brethren. Forgive. Did they nail you to a cross yet? Well, forgive them then. Forgive them. Doesn't matter. Understand your battle is not with that person. The real enemy is like the one that had those phone calls made. The real enemy is the one trying to get you into strife. Because if he can divide and conquer, you know, he's got us. So give no offense. Take no offense. Well, what if you stumble and give offense? Repent as soon as you realize it. Go over, humble yourself, drop on one knee if you have to, and beg them to forgive you. And say, I am so sorry, I forgot for a moment, there's thousands upon thousands of souls at stake. This isn't even about us. Forgive me. Forgive me. And then turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. Let me just read it again. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. See that part about your own life also? The reason when people come and say something ugly to you and you say something ugly back is you still love your life. The way Dave puts it, you can't improve on it. They came and de-exalted you from your self-exalted position. And the reason you start coming back at them, bless God, they're going to put you back up where you think you belong. Now, let's just get it real plain. Let's just get it real plain. Because you need to understand this in a practical way, and I'm about out of time. Won't be any confession tonight. I guess you figured that out. Let's just take a case. Let's take me. I'll be my own bad guy tonight. My own whipping boy. Now, let's say one of you that I have known for a while, one of you that I've really known for a while, and you come in, we say, I think everything you say to me, I think everything you preach is false. I think you're a false prophet and you're destroying the church. I think you're just in it for the money, and you're a charlatan and a crook, and I think you're working for the devil. Now, they probably couldn't say much anything that would hurt me more. Okay? And then not only that, they didn't just say it to me, they started saying that all around the church, to everybody at the church. And they started telling Gerald. And they started telling all my personal friends. And then they go in and they start writing letters to Dave and Tim. Okay? And they say that about me. And I know who it is. They say, I know who it is. Now what's my job? Pray for those that despitefully use you. Do good to those that persecute you. Love your enemies. My job is to not do anything in my self-defense whatsoever. God did not call me to defend myself. God called me to preach the gospel.
Yes, amen.
And as long as I do that and walk in love, I have one that defends me.
Hallelujah.
What does it matter what they think about me? My life is not my own. It's not my life I'm trying to give to you guys. I'm trying to give you His life.
Amen.
Amen.
It's His life. If you guys get my life tonight, it stinketh. You understand? Me, myself.
Amen.
But if His life can throw through me, you still get helped.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Can you see it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for these people in Jesus' name. Lord, I do believe You did a good work tonight.
Amen.
I believe You shored the people up for the time to come. Father, we all turn to You in Your Holy Spirit. There is no help from us apart from You, Lord. We cannot save ourselves. So, Lord, we cast our eyes toward You. Will You keep us in perfect peace? Because we trust in You, Lord. Now, Lord, I thank You that tonight You burn into these people. Your Word is as a fire, and Your Word is as a hammer. I thank You that Your Word breaks up the rocks of religion, breaks up the stony ground, burns up the thorns of self, so that Your Word can penetrate into our true born-again spirit and produce good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And especially, Father, I call forth the character of Christ Himself in every person in this room. They'll never be the same, Father. You said I could have what I say, and I say they'll never be the same, not one of them. Even tonight, before they leave here, they're changed to some degree. And I say Your Word will continue to grow 30, 60, and 100-fold, where they don't even recognize themselves for the love that they walk in. And it won't be themselves, really. It'll be You in them, Lord. Father, for all of this, I give You praise. And all of the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory.